Well, I'm happy to have the opportunity to be teaching and to be preaching and to be encouraging you in the Lord today. This is for Sunday, March 15th of 2020. And this is an important day for our congregation. This is an important week and month for our congregation because we are not meeting as a gathered believers in our normal location of meeting today. It is a fascinating thing that this day gives us the opportunity to put a worship meeting in my words on a place that we tend to call either the World Wide Web or the cloud. Who knows even where this sits as you listen to it now. But as I have been considered what's happening around the world, I contacted a couple of our local pastors in the area to get some input from them regarding the coronavirus. And during those hours and the 24 hours following between Thursday and Friday, and now is getting to be mid-afternoon on Saturday, there seems to be a steady change of reporting and understanding every few hours as to really what is going on. And since we tend to be an older church, it seemed to be prudent to me to take extra precautions to protect our congregation. In reality, nobody can say with much confidence that they know exactly what we should expect or what's going to happen next. One thing we have learned is that the media seems to talk first, give some information, and then maybe issue retractions or corrections. And so I don't really think anybody has a really good idea as to what we might expect. And thank the Lord, it's not my job, nor is it even yours, to have a clear understanding about what is in the future, at least as regards something like a coronavirus. However, you should be truly comforted. You should be encouraged to recall something like these words from the prophet Isaiah, for example, Isaiah 46, verses 8 to 10. The prophet said, and really God is speaking through the prophet here, Isaiah 46, 8 to 10, "Remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Isn't that an encouraging thing for us to know? That God says, remember the former things of old. I am God. There's no other. I am God. There is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. He has written the beginning and the end. And he says, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. What an amazing, encouraging, comforting hope that is for a Christian. So no matter what happens this afternoon or next week, we trust God is in sovereign control. And as we experience the hours and days before us, let us arm ourselves with his words. I sent a letter to most of you over the last couple of days. I hope you've been able to read it over and take to heart my counsel to you. You yourself need to be equipped to preach God's truths to yourself or your neighbor when you are unsure or when a neighbor struggles to understand the uncertainty that we might be experiencing. This is a time to be aware that some around us might very well need encouragement or help. You are brothers and sisters in the Lord, congregation. And our Heavenly Father will be pleased with our love and care for each other in all situations, especially in trying ones like this. Do not fear. Don't pretend nothing different is happening either. Don't ignore that this is a different experience for all of us. Some will pretend that nothing at all is happening different, and some will be maybe overly concerned. But what we ought to do is receive this different day as from the Lord, and know that the Lord knows, and He will accomplish His purposes in it. If any of you are just troubled, if any of you want to talk or need some help with something, I'll answer my phone. You call me, I'll answer my phone. I'll be at your home to visit and pray if I can. For a period of time that I can't really predict, at this point, we will be posting our service on sermon audio so we can be fed and encouraged in the Lord in that way. So if you will now just pray with me for a moment, we're going to have our reading from Psalm 8. So you might want to find Psalm 8, and then we're going to pray just for a second. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for snow that's falling from the sky right now, Lord. I thank you for rain. I thank you for the clouds. I thank you for the clothes on our backs and a place to be sheltered from cold and hot. We have truly been the most privileged people in terms of our comforts. Oh Lord, be praised with our worship today. Help us to concentrate in worship. Help us to be good rememberers of great truths. And help us to be good stewards of these great truths, Lord. Oh Lord, strengthen us today. Lord, give us endurance today. In Christ's name, amen. So now, if you will go ahead and look there at Psalm 8, we're going to read Psalm 8 together. The title saying, "To the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." If you see the title there in Psalm 9, you'll see the word Muthlabin. Muthlabin means the death of the champion. And David included Psalm 8 in an arrangement that he had made for his choir to sing under certain special occasions. And in this arrangement there of the 8th Psalm, he had a note in it mentioning Muthlabin. So it seems likely that the title in verse 9 is a footnote, actually, for verse 8, mentioning the death of the champion. And Psalm 8 here, Psalm 8 has traditionally been understood to be a psalm that David wrote after his battle with Goliath. And right here in the first verse, we're richly reminded of the God whose name alone is excellent. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 45 is where we would encounter David meeting the giant before their fight. And in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 45, David announces his strength to Goliath. There's an interesting contrast there. The huge giant, the massive, beastly man, had a sword and a spear. And David says to him, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." The believer does not have, nor does he boast, of the weapons of the world in his conflicts. A believer, a man of God, stands strong and secure in the very name of our God. Verse 2 is also very interesting, where it says, "Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength." Matthew 21:16 is a passage where the Lord Jesus is entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And there in this passage of Matthew 21:16, we would read that God has perfected praise from the mouths of infants. And the Lord Jesus is pleased to receive these praises as he enters Jerusalem. There's a childlike faith of believers, in particular with small children. The praises of children, the faith of children, is especially pleasing to our Lord. It's especially glorifying to our Lord. You know, that day when the Lord Jesus came into Jerusalem, he wasn't greeted by knights. He wasn't greeted by nobles. He was greeted by those who saw and cheered, the powerless and the weak, people who were full of pleasure at his arrival, including young and small children. David's love for God and his praises for God begin in the very name itself. And they're also recognized by the simple and the weak. And as the psalm continues here, they continue into the works of God's hands, which we see mentioned there in verse 3. The great wonders of God's creation in the heavens. When I consider your heavens, verse 3, the work of your fingers. How is it that the mere fingers of God are the instruments of creation so vast and gloriously beautiful? The fingers. Obviously, that's an anthropomorphism. God doesn't have fingers, but the contrast of the greatness and the marvelousness and the bigness of the heavens being made by fingers is to magnify the greatness of God. And this greatness of God is breathtaking. Verse 4 asks a question: "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" This question was also stated in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2. Why does God care about men? Verses 4 to 6 simply state that men will rule over everything, although there was nothing in him that merits it. Verse 4 is also a slight tip of God's hand, or it is a small indicator that the Christ too is in view here. That is, the Savior, the Messiah, is also in view here in verse 4. Do you see how in verse 4, what is man, you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? So we see the Son of Man being men and God's creatures. How does God visit him, if not as the Son of Man? For just two references, maybe make note of them, look at them later. Matthew 8:20 and 9:6 both make references of the Lord Jesus referring to himself as the Son of Man. How do the sons of men get visited by the Son of Man, if not by the person of Christ? So I see there in verse 4, when the question is asked, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? How does God visit us poor creatures except by Christ? In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Is anything else in the creation honored with a visitor like that? Isn't it a sweet privilege when somebody just comes by to see us because they were thinking of us and wanted to visit us? I think we're all encouraged when somebody would visit us. In this case, we're referred to the greatest visit and the greatest visitor ever, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. Even angels who are greater than men, it's acknowledged they're greater than men because they're higher beings. They're more powerful creatures. But they will not rule the works of God, nor are they visited by the Messiah. Fallen angels do not have a redeemer. What an amazing, what a breathtaking thing for us to think about. Only men, only fallen men have a Messiah and are visited by the Savior. Man is by far the greatest of all of God's creation. David's honor, that is, the honor he senses in this psalm, his praise to the God who has bestowed these honors, they are in recognizing the honor and the love God has given to his children, and not angels. It's truly amazing. Man's dominion seems to be further honored with glory and honor above his visitation and rule. And it's difficult. We can't fully take in all of God's kindness and honor to men. So verse 9 concludes, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And can we just say amen to that together? Let's pray for a moment. Oh, Lord God, the men and women of our congregation, we're not with each other in the same room, but we are part of a church here in Laytonville. Lord, we are the called out ones, and so, Lord, I pray for each one of them. We join our hearts to praise you and thank you, Lord. I think of these women and men, some of them older, some of them recovering from cancer, some of them just weak with age. Oh Lord, there are many reasons why we need you to strengthen us, why we need you, Lord, to remember us and help us. Lord, if we can't hope in you, if we don't point our hope to you, Lord, who would help us? Dear God, you left heaven's glory, taking on flesh, and visited us in the Christ. O dear God, if you, the greatest, the most almighty, the most knowing, the most wise, God, if you would leave heaven's glory because of your love for men, because of your regard in redeeming lost men, God, if you would do that, what would you not do for us who turn to you even now? O Lord God, by the blood of Christ, who is our high priest, we bow our hearts before you, Lord, our provider and our protector. Lord, protect us. Protect the men and women of our congregation. And Lord, give us strength. Give us compassionate hearts to be helpful and useful servants in these hours. Lord, we pray for our nation and the churches of our nation. God, cause the hearts and minds of men to be faithful servants in this hour of anxiousness, Lord, of uncertainty. Lord, may your people rest in your great strength and in your greatness. Lord, may they rest and serve with a steady hope, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.